From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises. That's in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later on in the program, Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. We'll hear from Lisa Braltz today, too, with her latest edition of In My Backyard. And as we close out the program, as usual, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast today. Peter Levitt will be on hand. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. A December contract in the soft red winter wheat at $8.68 a close, down 5 cents. In July, $8.43.5, down 8 for the day. The hard red at $8.74.5 on its close, down 2 cents. December futures in the corn pit, a closing price at $7.58.75 up 2. The March at $7.58 up a half. And the May futures a close down a penny and a quarter at $7.51.75. July at $7.45 down a penny. And September corn at $6.69.5 down 2 cents. December of next year, $6.27.25 down 6.75. November beans, a closing price there as well, $15.53.5 up 21.75. January at $15.50 up 17.75. In the March, $15.17.5 up 16. May contract $14.68.75 on its close, 4.5 higher. July at $14.54 up 2.25. And next year's November beans at $13.30, a closing price down 7.5 cents. All those, of course, closing prices, and they are subject to change as the settlements come through. Bean meal futures October contract at $5.11.50 up $46, and bean oil at $50.97. That's up 64 cents on the afternoon. Mercantile Exchange October live cattle at $122.32.5 for 75 cents higher at the end of the day, or rather lower at the end of the day. December we're down 32.5 at $125.70. October feeder cattle, 144.47.5 for 100 pounds. The settlement price there, down 82.5 cents. November settled 145.82.5, down 97.5 cents. And the lean hogs in the December contract at $76.05 per 100 pounds on its settlement, up 17.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. It is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $91.66 a barrel, up $3.52. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, up 13 and 9 tenths at 293 and 8 tenths. The ethanol in the November, 240 and a half. That's just about a tenth of a cent higher. And the spread between the two is 53 and 3 tenths of a cent. To the positive side, that's 13 and 8 tenths of a cent, a little greater than yesterday. Natural gas is at 341 and a tenth. A penny and 6 cents higher, and heating oil and diesel fuel, $3.18 and a tenth of a cent, 11.5 cents higher. Gold futures on the day at $1,795.10, a settlement price up $16.70. The dollar at 79.35, that's down 0.61, and the CRB index at 309.30. is 0.02 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, a high of 80 degrees, a southwest wind at about 15 to 17, gusting all the way to 24, and then tonight a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms too. Showers coming likely after 1 a.m., cloudy, a low of 47, a west wind then at about 9 to 13, becoming northerly after midnight. Winds could gust all the way to 17 miles an hour. In the area, the chance of precipitation this evening is 60%. Tomorrow, showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm or two, cloudy, a high of 52 on that northwest wind at about 9 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation tomorrow at 60% as well. And then tomorrow evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 37, west-northwest winds at 8 miles an hour. Saturday, sunny and 51. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 34. Sunny on Sunday with a high of 53, and Sunday night, mostly clear and a low of 32 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt. on the phone line now with us here for the closing market report for Thursday afternoon. It is the fourth day of October. Is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, it's been kind of a topsy-turvy week and a half. Tell me about this marketplace and what you see that you like and what you see that you don't like.
Well, I think for the most part, you know, you have to like the way December corn futures performed last Friday. And for the most part, while soybeans were losing ground this week, corn basically has held their own. We've had several closes in this 56, 57 area, seven. So we've got some tight closes there. I'm kind of in the opinion that unless we get some bearish surprises thrown at us maybe tomorrow morning with the Infoma economics number, that, you know, this corn could break out of this 757 tight close range to the upside. And basically the, what I would use is this 757 kind of as a midpoint, and I'd subtract the 705 low that we had last Friday morning before the report came out. And that was about like 52 cents, and I had 52 cents on a 757. So I can visualize a way that lead corn could maybe go on up into this $8 plus range, you know, 809, give or take a nickel. So I do like what I see there. It's not, you know, the moving average systems that kind of watch is still on the negative side, but there's some other technicals that, you know, have gone long that I watch. So I'm kind of friendly, but we kind of got across this 50% level, which is kind of the 74 and 77 area, I think, to really clear out a path to 809. But I do like the way the corn's performing, at least for a short-term recovery. Now, it's basically going to be an inside month so far, and we'll kind of go from there. Soybeans, I think you got to like the way the market dipped down to within a nickel of the 62% retracement of the lead futures move. That was right at 14.9093 quarters, and we went to 15.04 yesterday morning before the market started climbing out of the hole. And then now we've seen some follow through. Cyclicals are ripe here for the market to kind of build on yesterday's rally off of that 62% retracement, today's advance. You know, harvest was at 41%, so we're probably talking over 50% by Monday. So I think seasonally, the market's ready to climb also. So when I look at both corn and soybeans, at least on a technical basis, I can be a little friendly here for a recovery rally. And then beyond that, then we'll kind of take one day at a time on it.
I take it that in the beans that you're not fearful USDA will raise by very much, at least, what the national average yield and the total production is in the United States.
Well, they're going to raise the yield. I mean, there's no doubt that the yields have come in better than what farmers were looking at, and the further north and the further west you went, the kind of the better they came. So, yes, yields are going to go up. I'm not too sure what they're going to do with harvested acres. I'm probably more complex about tweaking acres of corn. Beans, it does appear that the hurricane that came the week after you guys were down here did help out a little bit. We did get some rain up into the Midwest, and that kind of saved the double crop beans. So they're coming in halfway decent. So, but the demand factor in beans is so strong that I think, you know, if as long as USA doesn't find more beans than what FC Stone came up with, FC Stone came up with about 250 million bushels of beans, I think demand can gobble that up. Now, if they come up with 300 million bushels of more beans, well, then that may be a price-limiting influence. But, you know, Brazil and Argentina has a long ways to go before their crop is harvested. And the north and central areas of Brazil predominantly are on the dry side right in here. So maybe Brazil may have problems again this year.
You're not particularly worried about a $15 and below number for soybeans then? I mean, below 15 bucks?
Oh, I think longer term we could, but I think we're going to have a recovery rally first. I guess short term here, I think we're going to try to go back and at least visit the 1615, maybe 1650 area, somewhere in that range, and then we'll see how the South America crop develops. But yeah, I think, you know, 2013, I've got a lot of cycle clusters coming together in 2013 that just makes me real nervous about prices as far as 2013 goes.
Nervous to the upside or to the downside?
To the downside.
That's what I thought.
To the downside. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be realized, but there's some downside price vulnerabilities, let's put it that way. But or there's going to be economic turbulence. I mean, and I think you're already starting to see that with the, you know, QE3 or QE indefinitely or whatever they want to call it, infinity. You know, the dollar took a big hit to the downside here today. And I think that's teeing us up here. We've been kind of in the 79 to 81 area. I think the dollar is getting ready to go back and travel down into the low 70s. And then we'll kind of see whether or not the low 70s holds it or we break through it into new lows since the dollar index has basically came about. So the devaluation of currencies, not only here with the U.S. dollar, but around the world, is just going to I don't like to use the word inflation because I define inflation a little different. This is just going to take more dollars to buy it, but I don't think people will be chasing after goods like we did in the 70s where we chased goods. I don't think that's going to happen. We're just going to have a whole lot of money around to buy stuff. So, but, yeah, the currency devaluation is eventually going to take hold here, and that's going to, you know, and if the dollar remains the world currency, which that one can be debated longer term, whether or not we will maintain our reserve currency standard. But if we maintain the reserve currency, well, then, you know, those dollars are going to turn into higher commodity prices down the road. But we could have a correction in between, though.
All right. So does this mean, are you cautiously approaching next year's crop, the 2013 crop, and sales? If you're a farmer, and should you think about sales at this point? Are you concerned enough about the value of the dollar that you're not willing to do it despite the higher prices?
I've kind of been going through some statistics here, and I don't think I want to be worried right today or the rest of the year, unless for some reason we got a good rally here to finish off the year. Some of my cyclical work says that this market could be in position to try to rally into a February high, winter high, early winter high, late winter high. And if that happens, then I would probably take a real good look at maybe new crop sales or at least putting some kind of price floor on them. Statistically, you know, those January highs and those February highs and March highs don't really have that good of luck of holding throughout the year. But, you know, there's about 3 out of 10 years they do hold, and we haven't had one of those for a while.
Well, let me ask you a question that I know you asked me when I worked for you a very long time ago, which was, this is where I think it's going. Now tell me why it should go there. And I know you asked me that question, and you asked me to go out 10 years.
I was quite the professor then, wasn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you were. you were right, too. You told me where it was going. Now tell me why. But you were right on where it was going.
Well, I don't know if I want to, you know, it just looks to me like, you know, demand for beans are strong.
Right.
Brazil has a ways to go before they raise a crop. The corn balance sheet implies that we got to do some rationing somewhere along the line. I mean, I know USA's numbers aren't exact, but based upon what we know anyway on numbers, there has to be some kind of rationing rally. So I guess I'm kind of more in the camp that we may get that going here on a short crop. Might try to rally into a January, February high, and then fall apart, then come unglued on, you know, larger plantings. I don't know how it could be any drier, but, you know, the drought ain't been broken yet. I do watch your weather patterns up there.
Right.
And you get a few sprinkles, but there ain't no no drought busters yet, and you can still look at the drought monitor and you can see a lot of red through the growing regions. It's probably more to the west of you, but it is still dry. So you know, if the weather pattern would shift to something more friendly on the moisture side, I'm confident that farmers will raise a big crop. So I'm just going to kind of take 1 month at a time. For the time being, I guess I'm more content to kind of see how this market performs, maybe going into the January crop report and maybe, you know, mid-February, see where we're at on that.
Dan, it's always fun. Thank you.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, Lisa Brooks moves beyond simple canning 101 in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
Around the fall equinox, in an increasing number of kitchens of all sizes across this great land, jars full of what grew in the garden 2012 are being lowered into giant pots full of boiling water. I've done my share of canning, but it's always been about ready-to-eat foods, foods that have obvious partners. You know, dilly beans to be consumed straight out of the jar with an adult beverage when friends come by, peach jam smeared on slices of bread already thick with peanut butter, tomato sauce and pasta, food like that. The relishes, the chutneys, the krauts, the French style of preserve called agrodoux, they always seemed fussy and I was never sure what to do with these condiments, what they'd taste good with or on. Enter Chef Paul Virant of V Restaurant in Western Springs, Illinois, just west of Chicago. Most of us think of canning and preserving as being the exclusive territory of the home cook. But Chef Virant has brought canning and preserving, everything from chow chow to preserved porcini mushrooms to smoked apple butter, into his restaurant during all seasons. It wasn't something he picked up at culinary school.
Maybe now it might be different. I mean, I think culinary schools, I think Kendall, you know, I think the CIA, I think there are some schools that are getting into whatever trends that are in the industry, whether it's like charcuterie, you know, some of the molecular stuff, you know, and I think preservation is something that is something that is being taught, you know, or is at least maybe as an elective class, you know, but it was not anything. It was not part of the curriculum when I was in school. So it was definitely something that you had to seek out. I mean, I think it's like anything. I think if you're really into something, you look to learn about all the different aspects of it.
Chevron's premise with preserves is pairing, not just by taste, but also by the food's heft. More solid winter meals can be brightened up by the sweetness and light of summer fruit preserves, for example. A gooey brie-style cheese baked in pastry somehow induces less guilt when pierced by the sharp flavor of a cranberry agrodoux. The balance of flavors, textures, and chemistry are key to such pairings and fascinated Chef Virant as he worked in restaurants after finishing culinary school.
I worked for a chef, this guy Wayne Nish at March in New York, whose mother was Japanese and his father was from Malta, which was really kind of a crazy combination of Mediterranean and Japanese. And I think that's where, like, I really started to get drawn towards that idea of, you know, protein or rich foods or something, then balance with something acidic, whether it's a vinaigrette or a pickle or a sauerkraut, you know. So, and then I just started to get into it, and it was like, you know, took off from there.
Every late summer for the past several years, Chef Virant has come to Urbana-Champaign to present a dinner to patrons at Prairie Fruits Farm, which is just a few miles north of town. This year, the dinner revolves around preserves and the pairing of those preserves with other seasonal foods. It's based directly on his 2012 cookbook, The Preservation Kitchen, and the menu is designed to feature some of Prairie Fruits Farm's cheeses. Chef Virant has been a huge supporter of local farms for years. He'd love to see food processing and preserving facilities pop up to help farmers add value to the produce they grow, and loves doing special events with farms. It's almost like a day off for him.
It's probably got the most to do with two things. One is the quality of products that you get that simplify things for us and makes our jobs a ton easier. And then equally as important, it's about the relationships that you've formed with these farmers, cheesemakers, or whatever.
The end of the growing season approaches, people. The Brussels sprouts are coming and make a wicked sauerkraut. There are apples and pumpkins to be buttered, hot peppers still to be pickled, butternut squashes still to be agrodude. Get out your jars, your crocks, and your big giant pots. Your table will thank you in a few months as you dream of spring and pickled asparagus. Or is that just me? For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks to Lisa Braltz and to our own Dave Dickey for preparation of our In My Backyard segment.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We'll check the cash grain market with Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Hi, Matt. Any one item you think producers ought to be keeping in the back of their mind today as we approach next week's crop production report?
Well, I think, you know, going into the next week's report, what can really affect your bottom line? And obviously, if we have a drastic increase in yield on either corn or beans, it could certainly affect this October pricing period. And so, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have a little bit of protection on there, but it sure does seem like we've maybe made a bottom here in the short term and maybe going the other way right now.
And if you were going to put protection on, which one would you do, corn or beans?
Well, most of my producers, I would say, are a little heavier corn than beans naturally, and I think that the corn yield on them was, you know, quite a bit less on corn than on beans, and so they might not even collect insurance on beans. And so I guess, in my opinion, on the corn, they probably got a little more left to lose, especially with that October pricing period. And then on beans, you know, a straight-up hedger, you know, of $15.50 to $16 beans somewhere in here, I don't know how that's a bad sale with some of the yields that my guys are telling me.
What are you seeing in basis?
Well, basis is actually, for us, has actually stayed fairly steady in the last week or so. So, you know, beans has weakened just a little bit. Just depends on which processor you're talking to. But I haven't seen a ton of fluctuation.
And what are your bids for the day?
We're 768 on cash corn, 769 for Jan, and then 1540 on cash beans and 1550 for Jan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, we'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt will be here on the Closing Market Report.
It's National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. The ice cream treat was likely invented in the summer of 1900 on the Lower East Side of New York City. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, the first U.S. national income tax was passed to aid the Union war effort. In 1866, the first patent for a tin can with a key opener was issued in the U.S. In 1887, numerous websites give credit to Rowell Hodge for the patent of barbed wire. But history shows that Joseph Glidden is the father of modern barbed wire. The DeKalb, Illinois native attended a country fair where he witnessed a demonstration of a wooden rail with sharp nails protruding along its sides. It inspired Glidden to fashion barbs on an improvised coffee bean grinder, placing them on a smooth wire and then twisting another wire around the first to hold it in place. And in 1966, Richard Shoup died, an American pathologist. He was the first to identify an influenza virus and first to vaccinate animals against influenza. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering federal crop insurance for 2013. More information is available from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
On this Thursday, let's check the agricultural weather forecast with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd.
Well, there's some argument about whether the drought has been broken and where it's been broken and not been broken, and maybe you can help clear things up for us.
Well, yeah, the breaking portions of the drought have started from the south northward, basically, in the southern plains. We've had some good rains across Texas and Oklahoma, and then some beneficial rains further north from there up into parts of western Kansas, few in eastern Colorado has relieved things. But things are still very dry in Iowa and Nebraska, and of course that's going to slow down the seeding and emergence of the winter wheat crop in those northern winter wheat portions of the belt. And we're not looking for much help in those areas. Looks like the precipitation this coming week will be mostly on a line from maybe eastern Kansas across southern Missouri and into up the Ohio River Valley about midweek. Nothing that's going to get back into those really dry areas. We also have the threat of some snow, of all things, coming down into parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin. There's some probability there'll be some snow in the air. But the big forecast highlight here is a rapid change in temperatures, which are on the way. You're sitting there in the low 80s there in east central Illinois this afternoon. Those temperatures at the same time now are only in the mid-50s when you get back into northern Iowa and into the 40s when you get back into western Minnesota and places like that. And it's a sharp cold front going to rush that air into the central Corn Belt states tonight and tomorrow. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some frost or freezing temperatures start to show up. We've got that on tap on Friday night and Saturday night for parts of northeastern Iowa and east central Iowa all the way into northwestern Illinois. And then the next morning, Saturday night, Sunday, we could even see some frost and freezing temperatures down, probably as far as I-74, I think, in Illinois with this very cold air mass. So this, I think, is a harbinger of things to come, Todd. I think we're going to see frequent changes in temperatures ranging now from, instead of much above normal to normal, I think we're going to see things ranging now from normal to below normal and flailing back and forth as we move through the balance of the month. And I don't think we're looking at much in the way of significant precipitation for those drought-stricken areas.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
It's my pleasure, Todd.
That is Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. It wraps it up for the day. I'm Todd Gleason.
agricultural programs are made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering federal crop insurance for 2013. More information is available from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.